January 30, 1930, as redemption unfolded, so will the kingdom of the divine will unfold. Analogy between the two of them. Leap of joy and of sorrow of Jesus. I was thinking about how the kingdom of the divine will could come upon earth, and in what way it may unfold. Who will be the first fortunate ones to have such a great good? And my sweet Jesus, making himself seen, clasped me all to himself, and giving me three kisses, told me, "My daughter, in the same way as the kingdom of redemption unfolded, so will the kingdom of my will unfold." It can be said that redemption is making its round throughout the whole world, a round which it has not yet entirely completed, because not all the peoples know about my coming upon earth, and therefore they are without its goods. Redemption keeps preparing and disposing the peoples for the kingdom of my divine will. So, just as my redemption had its beginning, not in the whole world, but in the center of Judea, because in this nation there was the little core of those who were awaiting me, there was she whom I had chosen as mother, and Saint Joseph, who was to be my foster father. In this nation I had manifested myself to the prophets by letting them know that I was going to come upon earth. It was right that, there where this was known, they be the first ones to have me in their midst. And even though they were ungrateful, and many did not want to know me, yet, who can deny that my celestial mama, the apostles, the disciples, were from the Jewish nation, and that they were the first criers who exposed their lives to make known to the other nations my coming upon earth and the goods which are in my redemption? So it will be for the kingdom of my divine fiat, the towns, the provinces, the kingdom, which will have been the first to know the knowledges about my divine will and its expressed will of wanting to come to reign in the midst of creatures, will be the first to receive the goods that its kingdom will bring. And then, making its way with its knowledges, it will do its round in the midst of the human generations. My daughter, there is much analogy between the way in which redemption unfolded and the way in which the kingdom of my divine will unfold. See, in my redemption I chose a virgin. In appearance she had no importance according to the world, either of riches, or of height of dignity or positions which would indicate her. The very city of Nazareth was not important, a tiny little house was her whole abode. But even though I chose her from Nazareth, I wanted for it to belong to the capital city, Jerusalem, in which there was the body of the pontiffs and priests who then represented me and announced my laws. For the kingdom of my divine will I have chosen another virgin who, in appearance, has no importance, either of great riches or of height of dignity. The very city of Corrado is not an important city, but it belongs to Rome, in which resides my representative on earth, the Roman pontiff, from whom come my divine laws. And just as he makes it his duty to make my redemption known to the peoples, so will he make it his duty to make known the kingdom of my divine will. It can be said that one and the other will proceed in the same way and manner, as the kingdom of my supreme fiat must unfold. After this, I continued my round in the divine volition, and as I arrived at Eden, I prayed Jesus that he would soon restore the purpose of the creation of man, just as he came out of his creative hands. But while I was doing this, my beloved Jesus, making himself felt in my interior, made me feel his divine heart leaping so very strongly, and, all tenderness, told me, "My daughter, every time Eden is mentioned my heart leaps with joy and with sorrow in remembering the way, the manner in which man was created, his happy state, his enrapturing beauty, his sovereignty, our innocent joys and his, with which we delighted together. How beautiful was our child, a birth worthy of our creative hands. Remembering this is so sweet and pleasing to my heart, that I cannot help leaping with joy and with love. But then, in seeing him changed in his lot, descended from his happiness into the evils of the human will, because our divine will was the safeguard against all his evils and the preserver of the way in which he came out of our creative hands, and placing him in a contest with his creator, it placed him in the condition of being able to give his love, his innocent joys to the one who had created him. So, in seeing him unhappy, my leap of joy is followed immediately by the leap of intense sorrow. And if you knew how pleasing to me is your coming back into this Eden to place before me what was done, beautiful, holy, great, in the creation of man. You give me the contentment, the joy of letting me repeat my leap of joy, and of placing a lenitive to my leap of sorrow, which is such that, if it were not followed by the sure hope that my child, by virtue of my fiat, must return to me happy, by giving me his innocent joys, as it was established by us in creating him, my leap of sorrow would have no respite, and I would emit shouts so loud as to make even the heavens cry. And therefore, in hearing your continuous refrain, I want the kingdom of your divine will, my divine heart feels its leap of sorrow being stopped, and, leaping with joy, I say, the little daughter of my will wants and asks for my kingdom. But why does she want it? Because she knows it, loves it and possesses it, and therefore she prays that other creatures may possess it. In fact, since my divine will is the origin of life of the creation of man, it alone gives him the capacity to be able to receive everything from his Creator, and to be able to give back to him everything he wants, which he wants. My fiat has the virtue of making the conditions of man, his fortune, change. With it everything smiles at him, all love him, all want to serve him, and they consider themselves fortunate to serve my divine will in him, that is, in the creature in whom my divine will reigns.